All right, we want to welcome you to the Wayne County Bible Center. We are continuing our series that we began Sunday, January 5th. So if you've missed any of these, please go back and pick them up. The series is The Jesus We Never Knew, based on the book by Philip Yancey. And today we are studying a message that I have entitled Jesus and the Sabbath, Part 1. But we're going to begin back in John chapter 1, verse 17. And I just want to review with you quickly. We have seen Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, where you have heard it said of old, but I say unto you, we saw him touching and healing a leper. We saw him in the last few weeks ministering to a woman caught in adultery. And what you are seeing is summed up in John chapter 1, verse 17. Where John says that the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. You are seeing during the 3.5 years of the earthly ministry of Jesus, as recorded in the gospel, the collision of two covenants, a cataclysmic transition as the old covenant and the new covenant are like two locomotives coming down a train track, exploding into one another. But as we understand what's going on, you know, the law was given by Moses. We studied this a few weeks ago. The law revealed the holiness of God, his perfection morally, and it also revealed the sinfulness of man. Paul said, I would not have known sin if it had not been for the law. The law says, thou shalt not lust, thou shalt not commit adultery. And when I lusted, when I coveted, I knew I sinned. So the law reveals the holiness of God and the sinfulness of man. And man's response was obedience. You are to obey the law. But there was never anything that was placed inside, no divine power to help these people for 14 centuries. They were to just obey the law and recognize and acknowledge the true God of Israel. And then grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And so the grace and truth reveals the heart of God toward man and man's need of a personal love relationship with a Savior. He needed to be saved from his sins. And man's response was faith. Jesus would say, come unto me. Follow me. Listen to my words. And so we are seeing the law as it's being fulfilled by the Messiah and by the Son of God. And so that's what we're looking at. And that's what we are studying today. So we have seen Jesus with the leper. We've seen Jesus with the woman caught in adultery. Now we want to study Jesus as he performed 7 miracles on the Sabbath. We'll study that. But the title of today's message is Jesus and the Sabbath. So turn with me to Matthew chapter 12, and I'll read the scripture, and then I'll pray. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 1, it says this. At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were hungry, and they began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, behold, your disciples are doing that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. Is that true? Is that in the Mosaic law? But he said unto them, have you not read what David did? When he was on the run from Saul, when he was hungry, and those men that were with him? how he entered into the house of God and he ate the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat because only the priests could eat the showbread. Or have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priest in the temple profaned the Sabbath? But yet they're blameless. But I say unto you, that is in this place, right here, in this confrontation, is one greater than the temple. But if you had known what this means, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. So these boys are plucking corn and shucking it off the ear and eating it on the Sabbath day. Verse 9. And when Jesus departed, he went to the synagogue. And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? And here's Matthew's commentary, that they might accuse him. So they're trying to trip him up again. And the Lord said unto them, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore, it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath day. And then he said to the man, stretch forth your hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole like the other. Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy and kill him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as I call upon you, I ask for forgiveness of daily sin and weekly sin, and I pray, Father, to be cleansed by your blood. So I confess these sins unto you, and I pray, Lord, to be anointed and filled with your Spirit in a spirit of humility to wash the feet of these that are listening. I pray, Heavenly Father, that your Holy Spirit will be our teacher and that you'll lead us and guide us now. And Father, that you'll bring us into a deeper understanding of Jesus, a deeper understanding of why he said what he did and why he did what he did, so that we can be brought into more intimate personal relationship with him. We thank you and we praise you. In your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. So here we go again, like last week, the scribes, the Pharisees, the antagonists of Jesus. In verse 14, they said, then the Pharisees went out, they held a council against him, they had a meeting, and they tried to figure out how they can destroy and how they can kill him. So this is the setting. We got to kill this guy, and we got to do it quick. And so somebody may have said to him, why? You know, what'd he do? Well, he and his disciples ate corn in a cornfield. And then he walked into the temple and he healed a guy in the temple. Now, sure enough, that ought to get you capital punishment. Anybody that's going to eat corn in a cornfield and anybody that's going to do a good deed and heal somebody in the temple, they ought to get nailed to a cross. I mean, that's logical. So you're saying, Brother Leo, they're going to kill him for eating corn and for healing a guy. No, my friend, it's not what he did. It's not where he did it, but it's when he did what he did, and he did it on the Sabbath. So it's all right to eat corn. It's all right to heal somebody. It's all right to eat corn in a field. It's all right to heal somebody in a temple. But according to the Pharisees, it's not all right to do it on a Sabbath, and it's worthy of capital punishment. So we got to ask ourselves a question as we begin today. Number one, what is the Sabbath? And number two, why is it so sacred to the nation of Israel? What is the Sabbath? And why is it sacred to the nation of Israel? So what is its purpose? So go with me to Exodus chapter 20. And in Exodus chapter 20, we'll see the Ten Commandments. And we'll begin to answer these questions. Jesus and the Sabbath, part 1. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 1, the scripture says this. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. Don't forget that. We're going to reference that again in another verse. But that phrase, I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. God wants the nation of Israel to always remember that it was by his power he freed them from the slavery and the bondage of Egypt. And he says in verse 3, you will have no other gods before me. But then when you get down here to verse 8, he says this. He says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall you labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work. You, your son, your daughter, your manservant, your maidservant, nor your cattle, nor any stranger that is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and he rested on the seventh day, and then the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, and he hallowed it, or honored it, or consecrated it, or dedicated it. So Exodus chapter 20, verse 8, remember the Sabbath. Now, Sabbath in the Hebrew is Shabbat, S-H-A-B-B-A-T-H, S-H-A-B-B-A-T-H. T-H. It's also spelled Shabbat, S-H-A-B-B-O-T. That was a more modern spelling of the Hebrew word Shabbat. And the roots of all these words mean this. It can mean to rest, or it can mean to rest or cease from labor, or it can mean to bring an end to an endeavor. To bring an end to. So this is one of the Ten Commandments. And in verse 11, the scripture says, for in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and he rested on the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So go with me to Genesis chapter 2 and let me show you the first use of this word, the Sabbath. And in Genesis chapter 2, verse 1, the scripture says this. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work. That's one of the root words of Shabbat. He ended, he ceased his work, which he had made. And he rested, that's the same word, Shabbat, on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. Now, the Lord didn't rest in the sense of being tired. It would have been a better translation there to say the Lord ceased from his work. He ended his work. He ended the endeavor of creation. He finished the work. But the Lord wasn't tired because the Lord never gets tired. So when the nation of Israel is acknowledging the Sabbath, verse 3, God blessed the seventh day. He sanctified it because that in it he had ceased from all his work which God created and he made. So in Exodus chapter 20, you got the Ten Commandments. to keep the Sabbath, to keep it holy. So it was a day to be consecrated or dedicated unto the Lord personally. You were to remember that the Lord created the earth, that the Lord created the world. It was a time of worship. It was a time of focus, and it was a time of meditation upon God. But it was not only a spiritual time of focus, it was a time of physical rest that they would cease from their work. So go back with me to Exodus chapter 20 and look at what the scripture says there. In Exodus chapter 20, you got a twofold thing. In verse 9, it says, 6 days shall thou labor and do all your work. In verse 9. In verse 8, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. So verse 8 is spiritual. Verse 9 is physical. And so if I'm a tent maker on the seventh day, Shabbat, I am not to make any tents. If I'm a carpenter on the seventh day, I'm to cease from doing my carpentry. Whatever it is that is my work, principally, I'm to take a break from it so that I'll have physical refreshment and restoration. But also on that day, I'm to dedicate it and consecrate it to the Lord and to have a worshipful mindset and focus on God. But I also want to show you something else about the Sabbath that is unique to the nation of Israel. The whole thing, the whole concept is unique to the nation of Israel. It was given to the nation of Israel in one of the Ten Commandments. Now, if you go to Deuteronomy chapter 5, in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 12, Moses, in the second reading, is emphasizing what I read to you in Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 3, where he says, I'm the Lord your God that led you out of Egypt and delivered you from the bondage of slavery. So in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 12, the scripture says this, keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. 6 days shall you labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thine ox, nor thine ass, nor any of your cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gate, that thy manservant and thy maidservant may rest as well as thou. So they weren't to do any plowing. They weren't to hitch up any of these animals. They weren't even to do any harvesting. You're going to see that, good Lord willing, before we close out. Verse 15, but he said, every Sabbath you're to remember something. Remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded you to keep the Sabbath. Now, why were they to remember that they were slaves in Egypt every Sabbath? Because you didn't get a Sabbath when you were a slave in Egypt. All 7 days, the nation of Israel and the Israelites worked for the nation of Egypt, and they were slaves. And so they worked every Saturday. And so every Sabbath they were to work. So it was unique to Israel that they were to remember that God led them out. So on the seventh day, they were to rest from their labors in acknowledging that they were set free by God and they were not slaves anymore. Now, I want you to understand, this is only unique to the nation of Israel. This is not something practiced by the church, because the church, we were never slaves to Egypt. We don't worship on the Sabbath. The Sabbath was the seventh day. The first day of the week is the day we call Sunday. It's the day that the Lord rose from the dead, and it's the day that the apostles adopted to worship God in the New Testament church in remembrance and in honor of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So the church worships on Sunday. We are called, following the tradition of the first century church in the book of Acts, to assemble on the Lord's Day. John was worshiping on the Lord's Day on the island of Patmos when he got caught up into the vision in Revelation chapter 1. And so we don't worship on the Sabbath. Now, you'll see these people, members of these cults, that'll tell you that you are supposed to keep the Sabbath. That's a lie. The Sabbath was only unique to the nation of Israel. Any cult, any religion that tells you you have to worship on Sabbath, which is Saturday, the seventh day of the week, they are teaching replacement theology. And they're saying they have replaced the nation of Israel. We don't keep the Sabbath. And we don't have Sabbath laws. We are under the New Testament. We are under the New Covenant. And we are called by God to not forsake the assembling of ourselves on the Lord's Day as they did during the New Testament church early in the morning, the first day of the week. The women came to the grave. They saw that Jesus had risen from the grave. And so the New Testament church of Acts began assembling. They assembled every day. And then they eventually assembled on what would be called the Lord's Day, the first day of the week. So let's look at some of the Mosaic regulations concerning the Sabbath. So turn with me to Exodus chapter 16. Because Jesus is in trouble here. They have said he has broken the Sabbath. He's a Sabbath breaker. He ate corn and his disciples. They plucked it. They shucked it. They ate it. He healed a guy in the temple. And so he has broken the Sabbath according to the Pharisees. Now, in Exodus 16, you can see how the Sabbath is practiced even in the wilderness. In verse 21. And they gathered manna every morning, every man according to his eating. And when the sun was hot, it melted. And it came to pass that on the sixth day, they gathered twice as much bread, the day before the seventh day Sabbath, Saturday. Two omers for one man. And all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And he said unto them, this is that which the Lord hath said. Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which you will bake today, and see that which you will seethe or boil, and that which remains over lay up for you to be kept until the morning. So they weren't to bake on the Sabbath, and they weren't to boil on the Sabbath. They were to do all their cooking on the day before the Sabbath, and they were going to eat leftovers. And you say, Brother Leo, why is this important? You're going to see how important this is as we start studying Jesus in the Sabbath. Because this thing is going to explode and mushroom over 1,400 years in what is called the Mishnah, which is the oral tradition of the Jews. And you're going to see the Lord facing all this stuff. However, the Mosaic law did prohibit baking and boiling on the Sabbath. It also did this. Look at what it says, verse 24. And they laid it up until the morning, as Moses bade, and it didn't stink the next day, neither was there any worm in it. And Moses said, eat that today, for today is a Sabbath unto the Lord. Today you shall not find it in the field. So it didn't even show up on the Sabbath. 6 days you can gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. And so they weren't to gather any manna. Now this is specific to manna, but you're going to see this thing blow up and explode. And it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day, even to gather, and they found none. And the Lord got angry because he told them not even to go out. Here in the wilderness, they're breaking the Sabbath, Tim. And the Lord said, how long are you going to refuse to keep my commandments and keep my law? So they couldn't even keep that. So they didn't have enough faith, you know, and they already had a double portion, or maybe they just wanted to see if God was telling the truth. I don't know. But here we go. All right, now go over to Exodus chapter 35. See what else the Mosaic Law says about the Sabbath. Now in Exodus chapter 35, verse 2, 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day there shall be to you a holy day, a Sabbath day of rest to the Lord. Whosoever does work therein shall be put to death. So if you do any work on the Sabbath, they're going to stone you. And I'm going to show you an example of this. Verse 3. You shall kindle no fire throughout your habitations upon the Sabbath day. So you weren't to do a fire, to roast anything, to boil anything, or to bake anything. So doing a fire, and it's primarily for cooking, was prohibited. But we don't get all these details, but oral tradition's going to fill in the blanks whether God wanted them to or not. So you don't go out and gather any manna. You don't cook anything. So we come to Numbers chapter 15. And we see something happen here that would really take you back if you didn't study it a little bit further. In Numbers chapter 15, verse 32, it says this. Now Moses is writing this, so he lived it. And while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man that gathered sticks upon the Sabbath day. And then they that found him gathering sticks brought him unto Moses and Aaron and unto all the congregation. Now, why was he probably gathering sticks? Well, he's probably going to make a fire. You don't gather sticks to build a house. They were living in tents. So he was going to make a fire. Evidently, he figured, I'm going to cook some. I'm going to roast some quail. And so Moses and Aaron, verse 34, they put him in a ward. They locked him up. Because it was not declared what should be done to him. Well, it had been declared in the written word that you're to die if you break the Sabbath. And the Lord said unto Moses, this man shall be surely put to death. So all the congregation shall stone him with stones outside the camp. And all the congregation brought him without the camp and stoned him with stones, and he died as the Lord commanded Moses. Wow. So this man gets stoned for gathering sticks? You know, that's hard to swallow. But I want you to understand, now I'm going to elaborate on this, but I want you to understand something. Now, this is something that sticks with you if you're in the nation of Israel. Not only them, but for 14 centuries, every time you read the law and the old covenant and the writings of Moses and the prophets, you'll go back to this situation And you'll say a Sabbath breaker is about as low as you can be in the nation of Israel. And if you break the Sabbath, it is worthy of death. But I want to show you a little bit of an undercurrent. Because it's not always the action of breaking the law. It's the intent behind the action that can bring on the capital punishment. So we're in the same chapter, Numbers 15. In verse 32, we began reading about the man gathering sticks, breaking the Sabbath, and then he gets stoned to death, which is the Mosaic law. But if you go back and read verse 27, I want you to see what's really going on here. If any soul sin through ignorance, he shall bring a she-goat of the first year for a sin offering, and the priest shall make an atonement for the soul that sins ignorantly, when he sins by ignorance before the Lord, to make an atonement for him, and it shall be forgiven him. So let's say that man had sinned ignorantly. He'd have been forgiven, but there was no way any Israelite who'd been traveling with Moses, who'd seen fire rain on Mount Sinai, who'd already had the law read twice in national assemblies and taught in the tents every week on the Sabbath, knew the big deal was don't break the Sabbath. So there's no way he did it ignorantly. So look at what it says. Verse 29, you shall have one law for him that sins through ignorance, both for him that is a child of Israel and even for the stranger. But verse 30, but the soul that does aught presumptuously and rebelliously and on purpose, whether he is an Israelite born in the land or a stranger, he reproaches the Lord, and that soul shall be cut off from among his people. That shall be cut off means killed or stoned. Because he hath despised the word of the Lord and has broken his commandment, that soul shall utterly be cut off, and his iniquity shall be upon him. So there was no doubt that this man intentionally, outright, rebelliously did an act of disobedience and rebellion against the Lord. And it says he has despised the word of the Lord. Now, I want you to notice the emphasis, verse 31. He has despised the word of the Lord, and he has broken his commandment. Now, as we continue this series with Jesus that we never knew, you're going to see Jesus time and time again say one phrase. You teach the traditions of men as the commandments of God. Now, I want you to understand, he's going to say it over and over again, and you're going to see this in the coming weeks as we study Jesus plucking the corn and healing the man in the temple. So understand, this man was stoned to death because he intentionally and rebelliously despised the word of the Lord and broke one of God's commandments concerning the Sabbath. Now, Jesus is being accused of doing the same thing by the Pharisees in Matthew 12. Now, let me show you something else. Go with me to Jeremiah chapter 17. In Jeremiah chapter 17, Jeremiah, as a prophet of God, is expounding upon the Sabbath. If you've got a heading in your Bible in verse 19, it would say the Sabbath must be observed. Because the nation of Israel, time and time again, was breaking the Sabbath and experiencing the judgment of God. And so the prophets would always call them back to remember the Sabbath, and they would expound on what Moses has written. Now, a prophet is a whole lot different than a scribe and a Pharisee, because a prophet's got the Spirit of God on him. We see these scribes and Pharisees that were attacking Jesus had the spirit of the devil. But notice what Jeremiah says, because you're going to see this come up when Jesus heals a crippled guy and he picks up his bed and carries. All right, Jeremiah 17, verse 21. Thus saith the Lord, all right, I am speaking for God. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Take heed to yourselves and bear no burden on the Sabbath day, nor bring any burden in by the gates of Jerusalem. Don't carry forth a burden out of your houses on the Sabbath day, neither do any work, but hallow ye the Sabbath day, as I the Lord commanded your fathers. But they obeyed not, neither inclined their ear, but made their neck stiff, that they might not hear nor receive instruction. So, you're not to cook, you're not to make a fire, you're not to carry a burden. Now, that's a little bit relative. You know what's the burden. You're not to carry a stack of lumber to go build a clubhouse. Or a treehouse. You're not to carry two sacks of flour. You know, you're not to carry your laundry. Anything that would be laborious, you are not to carry on the Sabbath day. Commandment of God, not a tradition of men. You know, we're going to have to learn. Y'all ever heard of that Sabbath day's journey? Is that a commandment of God, or was that a tradition of man? So here we go. Now let me give you one more before we close tonight, and then we'll pick up next week, good Lord willing, because this kind of applies to Jesus in the cornfield. I might have should have titled it that, Jesus in the cornfield. We're on a dove hunt. All right, Exodus 34. Exodus 34, verse 21. You get this little tidbit. In Exodus 34, verse 21, Moses says this. 6 days shall you work, but on the seventh day you shall rest. Okay, Brother Leo, we done read that 10 times. Why are you reading it again? 6 days you will work, but on the seventh day you shall rest. Even in earing time and in harvest time, you shall rest. So when the corn's coming out on the ear, or the barley, or the wheat, even when the crops are coming in, you can harvest them for 6 days. But on the seventh day, there's going to be no reaping and no harvest. So when those boys were walking through the field, they weren't reaping and harvesting, were they? They were hungry. Their intent was not to reap or harvest. Their intent was to pluck an ear of corn, shuck it off the ear, eat it, and keep walking. Oh, the Pharisees said, you're reaping, you're grinding, and in the oral tradition, you're not going to believe what all they put in What verse is this that we're on? Exodus 34:21. This thing's going to read like an encyclopedia when I share with you what the Mishnah, which was written 300 A.D. in Jerusalem, 500 A.D. in Babylon. However, it was a recording of all the oral traditions that go all the way back to the days of Moses. And these are the oral traditions that Jesus was battling during those 3.5 years. So in Matthew 12, when they see them plucking the... You'll know it. Go back there and I want you to notice what Matthew puts down here. And we're closing out. But Jesus is turning this whole religious system upside down. But it was to be in effect until the seed came, until the promised one. Well, he's saying, I am he. I'm here. And in Matthew 12, look at what it says in verse 1. At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were hungry, and they began to pluck the ears and to eat the corn off the ears. Now, they could have walked through the field. If it had just said they ate corn, it would have been all right. But you're going to see the significance to the Pharisees of plucking it and then getting it off the cob and what they considered that to be. You can definitely choke on a gnat and swallow a camel. And you're going to see all this laid out as we continue to study the Jesus we never knew. Jesus in the Sabbath part 2, hopefully. We'll be up and running next week. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for our study of your word. And Father, we want to thank you that you are the Messiah of Israel and the Savior of the world. And you are the head and the authority over the church. And Lord, we know that you desire to save everyone that hears my voice today. Father, we thank you for your work on the cross, your shed blood, you carrying our sins and facing our judgment. And we thank you that by a faith commitment, we can follow you and receive the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and be born again. Holy Spirit, bless all that are listening. We pray for health and protection for all those throughout the world today. And Lord Jesus, we pray for comfort for those that have lost loved ones during this epidemic. And we pray, Father, for healing and deliverance and for your wisdom. In your name, Lord Jesus, amen.